Now, I'll be preaching. Several people asked me if I was going to preach a different message every service, and the answer is no. And Brianna said she wanted to stay for every service so that she could hear what I said different in each service. And I'm sure that it will be somewhat different in each of the services, but I am thankful for this great passage of Scripture that is before us this morning in Daniel chapter number 6. I'm sure that what will happen often throughout the day is that I'll say morning when it's afternoon, and I'll say morning when it's evening, and whatever. And I tried to be careful in my notes to put today and not to specify whether it was morning or afternoon. However, this passage of Scripture that is before us in Daniel chapter number 6 is a familiar passage of Scripture. I am thankful that God has given us His Word. I'm thankful for the truth that is contained therein. He said, "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." And I'm thankful for the power of God's word. And in the Scriptures, God has revealed Himself to mankind. We find that really everything that I know about God, everything that you know about God, we speak about God being gracious. How do we know that? Because His word tells us that He's gracious. We speak about God being all-powerful and all-knowing and eternal and immutable. How do we know? Well, we know because He's told us in His precious Word. He has revealed to us His character. Not only has He recorded for us His character, but we find that throughout the Word of God, many of His interactions with mankind have been preserved for us, and He has demonstrated His power and His wisdom. Job noted in Job 9 in verse number 4, "He is wise in heart and mighty in strength." When I think about that statement that Job makes there in the 9th chapter of that wonderful book, we find that this is the case that God knows exactly what to do and He has the power to do it. There are times in which we might know something that has to be done, but it's outside of our control, something that we do not have the means by which to accomplish, or maybe we think that we have the means, the ability to do something, but we just don't know how to do it. And we understand here that our God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. As you read this book, the Bible, you will find that God has demonstrated His might and His power, His wisdom over and over throughout the history of mankind. What great truth has been given to us. As I mentioned a moment ago, the text of Scripture that is before us is a familiar passage of Scripture. It is important for us to note that though the text of Scripture is familiar, that we approach it with an understanding that the events that are recorded in Daniel chapter number 6 actually happened in Daniel's life. And we find that these events that are recorded for us in Daniel chapter number 6, they happened in his life. It was something that daily he had to deal with, and there were circumstances that really, when you consider all that's taking place, they were outside of his control. But yet, as we study the passage of Scripture and we begin to look at the life of Daniel, I believe that as we examine the portion that is before us, that God would use the passage to strengthen us, to encourage us, I believe even to convict us. When we look at the faith and the courage of Daniel in such a time as what is recorded here in Daniel 6. Notice in verse number 1, the Bible says this, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them. The king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Skip down and look at verse 16. We'll look at the entire chapter as we go through the message this morning. But notice in verse number 16, the Bible says, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually," notice this, "He will deliver thee." And I want to preach a message that I've simply entitled from verse number 16 this morning, "He will deliver thee." We understand that those words in verse number 16 are words that were spoken by King Darius. These are not words that were spoken by Daniel. But because of the testimony of Daniel, we find that Darius makes that observation and declaration. And we can rejoice in understanding this morning that our God is able. We sang the song to start the service this morning, "Our God is able to deliver thee." And what a joy that is. As we look at the passage of Scripture, we notice really in verses 1 through 9, if you're taking notes, the enemy's intent is revealed. You understand there's an enemy against the people of God. You understand that Satan is working against all that God is for. We understand, even as we preach throughout the book of Ephesians in 2019, that we are engaged in spiritual warfare. The Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And we think about the spiritual wickedness and the darkness in which we live, and we think about the enemy that we have in this particular text of Scripture. We find that these presidents and princes gather together, and they are the enemy of Daniel. We find that the Bible records for us, it helps us to see, and that's why I've titled it as such, "The Enemy's Intent is Revealed" in these verses of Scripture. We see that the scene is set, the first three verses that I read just a moment ago, and we find that God is helping us to understand the circumstances in which Daniel is living and all that is taking place. And we find that Daniel is in this position. He tells them that Daniel was preferred above the presence, according to verse number 3. And so we find that in verse number 2 it says, "Of whom Daniel was first." And we find that the scene is set, and we understand the circumstances as to what's taking place. Daniel had now been in Babylon for a period of time. Of course, it was under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar that the nation of Judah was taken into captivity because of their sin and their wickedness. And we find that Daniel, along with several others, were some of the first that went into Babylonian captivity. And there he found himself now during the reign of King Darius. As you follow the process throughout the book, you find that in verse number 30 and 31 of Daniel 5, that the Bible talks to us about the coming in of Darius being king. It says, "In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old." And so we find that the scene is set. We understand what Daniel's position is, and we see where he is, but there is a scheme that is developed. In verses 4 and 5, the Bible tells us about this scheme or plot that is developed by these that are in this kingdom at the same time in which Daniel is. The Bible says in verse number 4, "Then the presidents and princes," notice this, "sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, 'King Darius, live forever.'" We find that they approach the king with flattery. They begin to share some things with him in the next verse of Scripture. And we see their approach, and we see that these men, as they gathered together, they saw occasion against Daniel. We find that Daniel had a good testimony. It is interesting that they say what they say about Daniel, but we find that Daniel, in chapter number 9, that he sought the Lord, and he sought the Lord and confessed his sin and the sin of the people. We find here that Daniel was not perfect in the sense that he was sinless, but we find that Daniel was a man that had a good testimony, and we find that there was nothing that they could find occasion against him where he'd broken some law, where he would be guilty of death, and that's what they were seeking. So we find that they developed this scheme. It's said in verse number 7 that the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and their captains have consulted together. And here's what their scheme was: to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. We find that this scheme is developed, and we find that they present their plan to the king, and they come in with flattery, and they begin to tell the king what they've devised and what they've planned. And we find that the statute is then signed. According to verses 8 and 9, they make it clear in verse number 7 what this statute is, that they should ask any petition of God or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, that he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now notice in verse number 8, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, according to verse number 9, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now we understand that there is a relationship between Darius and Daniel that we see in the first three verses with regard to Darius putting Daniel in a place of leadership, and we'll find as we move throughout the passage of Scripture of this influence that Daniel had upon the king. But here, when the king is presented with this plan, with this scheme, that they do not, the counselors, the presidents, the governors, all of those that have gathered together, that consulted one with another, that brought this statute in, then had it signed, they did not share with King Darius the reason that they wanted this thing signed. They wanted the statute signed so that they could find occasion against Daniel. That was the whole plan. That was the whole reason behind the scheme. And we find that the enemy's intent is revealed. We understand biblically that as we look at this particular content of Scripture and understand what's happening in the life of Daniel, that we today continue to have an enemy, and that our enemy desires to destroy us. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And we find that here throughout the Scriptures, and even here in Daniel, that God gives us some insight with regard to the tactics of the enemy. And so we find the enemy's intent is revealed. Number two this morning, Daniel's intercession is recorded. I love verse 10 of Daniel chapter number 6. The Bible reveals to us in Daniel chapter number 6 and verse number 10 really the courage and the faith that Daniel displays in this particular setting, in this time in his life. The Bible begins in verse number 10 as we see the intercession recorded. It says, now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. Now think about that just for a moment. He was aware of this statute that King Darius signed according to verse number 9. He was aware of the fact that this statute included the clause that if any man, that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. So Daniel understood what was forbidden. He also understood what the result would be of breaking this statute. By the way, you notice that in verse number 8 of our passage of Scripture, the Bible speaks about the fact that the writing, the law, that it would not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. And that's something historically during this particular time that if you study history and you see that when they would make a decree, it was not alterable. It was going to go forward. You can read during the time of Esther, and you understand that there was a decree given under the hand of Ahasuerus. Of course, it was written by Haman, the enemy of the Jews, and we find that God was at work during that time. He used Mordecai and he used Esther, and it was not that the decree of Ahasuerus could be overturned. Rather, a counter decree had to be written. We read of that in Esther in the 8th chapter. But here, as we find Daniel, and we find that Daniel's intercession is recorded, that the text clearly indicates that Daniel was aware of the statute, and he understood that it had been signed. Yet Daniel was a man of courage who had a consistent walk with God, and I believe that he had this perspective, that no one would interfere with his time with God. Notice it says, now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. What did he do? He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Isn't that a precious verse of Scripture? I note in verse number 10, number one, that he left his windows open. He wasn't trying to hide anything. He wasn't doing it in secret. Amen. He was going to continue to seek the face of his God. We find that the Bible tells us that he enters into his house and that his windows being open in his chamber, they were open toward Jerusalem. That what did he do? He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and he prayed. Notice the Bible says that he gave thanks. On Friday evening, if you tuned into our prayer meeting, we looked at the first few verses of Psalm 34 and spoke about the importance of praising God. Even at a time such as this, even we're dealing with a global pandemic and all of the chaos and uncertainty that's taking place, we as God's people continue to enter into His presence with thanksgiving, understanding that He rules and He reigns and that He's in control. And we find that Daniel, when he prayed, he gave thanks before his God. And then notice this phrase at the end of verse number 10, as he did aforetime. You might want to make note of that. We'll mention it again as we get through the text of Scripture and we understand that Daniel had this consistent walk with God and how important that is. On Sunday night a week ago, I preached the message from Psalm 73 on draw near to God. And how absolutely vital it is for God's people to draw near to God, to understand that it's important that we dwell in His presence, as I spoke of in Psalm 91 on Thursday evening. And what a joy to understand that Daniel had this walk with God. But you notice in verse number 11, the Bible tells us that these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. What do you think they expected to find? They expected to find Daniel praying. Right? Why did they make the statute that they made? Well, according to verse number 4, they knew, if you look in verses 4 and 5, that they knew that the only way they could find occasion against Daniel was if they could find something that would be concerning the law of his God. And so we find that after the statute was written and signed, that Daniel continued to seek the face of God. And those enemies, and we see they gathered together, these men assembled, and they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They bring accusation back to the king. We find that in verse number 12, the Bible says, then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then, notice verse 13, then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then these men assembled in verse number, well, look at verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. You notice that? He wasn't upset with Daniel. He was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. The enemy knew how Daniel would respond, and they gathered and they were going to report the violation, as we read in verses 11 through 15. And we find that in these verses of Scripture that Daniel, it was not that he regardeth not thee, as they say in verse number 13. It was that there was a higher authority in Daniel's life. We understand that Daniel, if you notice in verses 4 and 5 how that he had this testimony, the Bible says that that he was a faithful and there was no error nor fault found in him. Certainly he understood the importance of obeying those that have leadership or rule over him, and he understood the importance of living in a way in which God would tell us later in the New Testament, as much as lieth in you, to live peaceably with all men. We understand the importance, according to Romans 13, to obey those that have rule over us, and so on and so forth. But we find here that it was not, as the accuser said, that Daniel regarded not the King Darius. It was that there was a higher authority in Daniel's life. And I wonder this morning if we understand the importance of living under the authority of God and understanding that our God is great and that He is the greatest authority in our lives. Now, so long as the government does not require us to be in violation of something that God has commanded us to do, then we obey the government. And we seek to live peaceably with all men as we can. But as we find ourselves looking at the disciples in the book of Acts, and you find that they are told by those in authority that you cannot teach or preach in the name of Jesus Christ. By the way, no one's told us that at this point. Amen? And we're thankful for that. But we must be willing to respond in the way in which the disciples did if that were to happen, that we say, listen, you be the judge, but we ought to obey God rather than man. Amen? And we find that Daniel, it was not that he had no regard for the king, it was that there was a higher authority in his life, a superior authority in his life. We find that not only does the text of Scripture record for us the enemy's intent and Daniel's intercession, but as we move forward, I see Daniel's influence is recognized in verses 14, 16, and 17. And really, we've read verse 14 already, but I want you to look at verse 16 and 17 and notice, if you will, the influence that Daniel had upon King Darius. We see that here in verse number 16, the Bible says, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions." Now, we're familiar with the passage of Scripture. As we read the next few verses, we'll see how difficult this must have been for Darius to follow through with sending Daniel to the den of lions. The Bible says, "Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, and that the purpose might be not be changed concerning Daniel." It tells us, "Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him." Darius had a rough night. We find that Daniel had had a great influence upon King Darius, and it's recognized in our passage of Scripture by that which Darius says. You find that he says in verse number 3 concerning his understanding of Daniel that there was an excellent spirit in him. We find that in verse number 14, as we read a moment ago, that after these men assembled and said, "Hey, here's the accusation. You wrote this decree. You wrote this statute, but there's one Daniel." We find that the king, when he heard those words, that the Bible tells us that he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. But you know something that's interesting? Is King Darius was not able to deliver Daniel. Now, can you put your mind around that just for a moment? Darius has great power. He has enough power to sign this writing to say, anyone that asks any petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, that they shall be sent to the den of lions. And Darius has power. I mean, he's the king. But there was nothing he could do to deliver Daniel. Nothing. He labored. He toiled. He did everything he could. It was outside his control. But notice what he says. He says, as Daniel is cast into the den of lions, it says that the king commanded and they brought Daniel. There was pressure on King Darius. These men come in verse 15 and say, "Hey, you know, king, he's got to be caught, cast in. You know." And Daniel is cast into the den of lions, according to verse number 16. But before the stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, Darius says, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." Isn't that powerful? These words that Darius speak reveal to us the influence that Daniel had upon the man, the king, this powerful influence that Daniel had. And we find that he has this testimony that he served God continually. We find that Darius understands the power of Daniel's God and says, "He will deliver thee." Now you understand that Darius did everything within his power leading up to the very moment that Daniel would be cast in the den of lions to prevent that from happening. He toiled and he labored and he worked diligently to prevent Daniel from having to enter into the den of lions, understanding that he's not capable, and now Daniel goes into the den of lions beyond the power and control of Darius. There's nothing he can do. But he says, "Thy God, He will deliver thee." This morning we think about the influence that Daniel had upon King Darius. I am mindful this morning of the faith and the courage of Daniel. We do not see written within the pages of Scripture, within the account that is before us, any resistance on the part of Daniel. We see that there's no attempt for Daniel to cover up what he's doing, but he has boldness and courage and faith. And I believe this morning that the faith and courage of Daniel that is revealed to us here in Daniel 6 is not the result of a casual walk with God. No, the faith and courage that we see displayed in Daniel chapter number 6 is the direct result of a consistent walk with God. We find that the Bible tells us in Romans 10 and verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." This morning, we know that God's people are not exempt from trial or difficulty. We're not. We're not exempt from it. We find that our God, however, has given us, as I mentioned by way of introduction, account after account after account of showing what he's capable of doing. And we find that when we face the time of trial or difficulty, the question is, how do we respond when it comes knocking upon our door, when the trial or the difficulty comes in our life? How do we respond? I'll tell you that if we have a daily consistent walk with God, that our faith will be increased, and God will prepare us for that day. See, Daniel could not prepare for the time that is given here. He could not have prepared last minute. Let me try to get the courage and faith that I need to keep on praying. No, if he did not have that consistent walk with God, if it was not, as it was mentioned in verse number 10, as he did aforetime. See, this consistent walk with God was building his faith and preparing him for the day in which he would face this trial. We don't prepare for the battle in the moment of the battle. We prepare well in advance. And we find that Daniel was fit spiritually for the trial that came his way. And we find that he had great influence upon King Darius. And it's recognized through the statements that Darius makes. As we conclude this morning, we have 4 points. So imagine that, preaching 5 times today and gave a message with 4 points. Amen. And Daniel's incredible release. If you're taking notes this morning, we saw number 1, the enemy's intent is revealed. Daniel's intercession is recorded. Daniel's influence is recognized. And number 4 this morning, Daniel's incredible release. What an incredible account God has preserved for us in His precious Word at the end of Daniel 6. We find that the king, as I mentioned already, he was stressed, he was worried, he spent the night sleepless. The Bible says that his sleep went from him in verse number 18, but yet we find that in verse number 19 that the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. Can you, in your mind's eye, in your sanctified imagination, can you see what's unfolding before you this morning as we look at Daniel 6 and we find that Daniel has now spent these hours in this den of lions, and we find that Darius was there at his palace and he was had this sleepless night. He passed the night with fasting. The Bible tells us that there were no instruments of music that were brought before him, that his sleep went from him. But early on that morning, then he rose up with haste and he went to the place where Daniel had been cast into this den of lions. And the Bible tells us that there's a conversation that takes place. And we find that in verse number 20, the Bible says, "And when he came to the den, he cried," notice what it says, "with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. The king spake and said to Daniel," O Daniel, notice how he refers to Daniel, "servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" I don't know how long of a pause is between the question that the king asks in verse number 20 and the response that Daniel gives in verse number 21, but we find that the Bible tells us in verse 21, "Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever." And as we come to verse number 22, we find that God supernaturally protected his servant. He says, "My God hath sent his angel." Notice it's angel, not angels. He just sent one angel. The angels are powerful. We understand that. God sent one of his angels. It says here, "My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Now, can you imagine being Daniel in that den of lions? I mean, I've never seen a lion real close. I've only seen them in a recording. I've seen them at a zoo. But there's always been some distance between me and the lion. They got some big teeth, amen? They're powerful creatures. But you know that God is the creator. And God has power over his creation. And as powerful as those lions were, and as much as the enemy had this evil intent on causing Daniel to be killed in this manner, we find that our God is superior. And our God supernaturally protected his servant. Notice some verses of Scripture. Turn to the book of Psalms, if you will. I want to look at a few verses as we look at the ability of God to provide deliverance for his people and to supernaturally protect his people. Psalm 20, and we'll begin there. And look at a few verses of Scripture here this morning in the psalmist, or from the psalmist, that will help us to understand the power of our God. Daniel testifies of the fact that God had supernaturally protected his servant. The psalmist says in Psalm 20 and verse number 7, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Psalm 60, by the way, there's several passages we could look to in the Psalms and other places as well. I just want to have a few for you to look at this morning in Psalm 60, in verses 11 and 12. The psalmist declares here in this passage of Scripture, in verse number 11 of Psalm 60, "Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies." I quoted this verse of Scripture as I prayed this morning to open the service, but in Psalm 121, in verses 1 and 2, the psalmist declares, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." When Hezekiah prayed because of Sennacherib and Rabshakeh and all that was taking place with the Assyrians, we find that he prayed and he laid the Rabshakeh, and we find that Hezekiah goes to God understanding that God is the creator. God, if you're the creator, if you spoke all of this into existence, and you're my God and you're my helper, there's nothing beyond your ability. There's nothing beyond your control. Back to Daniel 6, we find that in verse number 22, the Bible speaks about that supernatural protection that God gave and that there was no hurt upon Daniel. In verse number 23, the Bible says, "Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. In verse number 23 of our passage of Scripture, we find that Daniel's faith is in full view because he believed in his God. Paul declared with boldness and power in Acts 27 in verse number 25, I believe God. That's what faith is, taking God at His word and believing that God is able. I find in my mind's eye as I look at Daniel chapter number 6, of course we're familiar with the passage of Scripture a few chapters before in Daniel 3 where God is showing His power during the time of Nebuchadnezzar being the king of Babylon, and before Darius comes in, the king of the Medes and Persians, we find that those three Hebrew children, they would not bow down to that image. You find that those that cast those men into the fiery furnace, they were killed because of the heat of the furnace. But yet there was no hurt upon Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In fact, you find that Nebuchadnezzar, he stands up and he says, didn't we cast three in? But there's four, and we cast them in bound, and they're walking around. The fourth is like unto the Son of God. And the Bible tells us that they came out of that fiery furnace and they didn't even have the smell of smoke upon them. That's just miraculous. If the Bible didn't say it, it would be beyond our ability to believe it. Amen? But the Bible says it, so we believe it. I mean, you just get within a little distance of a fire and you have the smoke upon you, right? Ladies, you get the smell in your hair, right? And it just can be annoying. I don't have that problem so much. But the reality is that we come to this place and we find that Daniel, in this den of lions, that he comes out and there's no manner of hurt found upon him. Not even a scratch. And the Bible says, as we look at his faith, because he believed in his God. Now for a moment, I want you to consider the accusers. What do you think they're thinking right about now? Our plan failed, right? How did this happen? I mean, they were sure that as they were able to get that writing signed by Darius, I mean, they're excited that, man, we're going to get rid of this Daniel guy, and we're going to get rid of him, and they signed it, and now we find that they go and they observe so that they can find Daniel and they can bring the accusation, and then when Daniel's cast into the den of lions, I think that they have a certain level of celebration, if you will. It's kind of like back in the book of Esther when Haman goes home and he builds that gallows that's 75 feet tall. And I mean, he's excited. He's going to go to the feast. And it was only he and Ahasuerus, the king, that were invited to the feast that the queen was going to put on. And man, he's excited until he finds out that things have changed considerably and no longer in his favor. You find that it would be Haman that would be hanged upon those very gallows that he built for Mordecai. And here in our passage of Scripture, these accusers that are on looking, they're observing. I think that when Daniel comes out of that den of lions, they just kind of shake their head. Like, what do we do? But notice what happens to these accusers. In verse number 24, the Bible says, the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives. Now stop there. We'll read the rest of the verse in just a moment. It's interesting to me that God has preserved the entirety of this particular account that we find in Daniel 6, lest some come and mock and scorn and say, well, they cast him into a lion's den where there were no lions. And often you find that people would refer to Daniel in the lion's den, and I've said throughout the message this morning, and you find in the text of Scripture, it's the den of lions. The reason I make the connection or that specific statement is because it was a den of lions. There were lions in that thing. And God miraculously, supernaturally delivered His servant. But the Bible says that when the king commanded in verse number 24, and when he cast these in, the Bible says, notice at the middle of verse 24, and the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces, notice, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. You understand what that means? These lions that were in that den that Daniel spent hours with these lions. They were hungry lions. They were vicious lions. There were a lot of them. But Daniel was protected. Daniel was delivered. He will deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. We sang the song this morning, and we find that these accusers and their families, the Bible tells us that the lions break all their bones in pieces before they hit the bottom of the den. Wow. But Daniel walks out without even a scratch. Isn't that amazing? It's absolutely astounding to see how God has given us in His Word the power that He has. Now, I want you to notice as we look at the last few verses of this passage of Scripture that you will find that the Lord is exalted and magnified. Notice in verse 25, King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. That's a lot of people. Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Can I tell you that we serve the same God that Daniel served? The Lord God, omnipotent, Jehovah. The Bible says in verse 27, He, speaking of God, He delivereth and rescueth, and He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Darius understood that though he was incapable of delivering Daniel, that God was able to deliver Daniel. And we find that there is this decree that is made. The Lord is exalted and magnified. The Bible tells us in verse 28, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. My question this morning as I look at the passage of Scripture, begin to look at the historical account that is given to us and rejoice in understanding the power of God, understanding the faith and courage of Daniel, and understanding that that faith and courage comes not from a casual walk with God, but from a consistent walk with God, where he's daily in the presence of God, he's dwelling in the presence of God, and God has given him a peace, as we see demonstrated in our passage of Scripture, and God works miraculously. But I want you to understand that Daniel did have to go into the den of lions. Troubles and trials may come our way. And the question that we ask ourselves this morning is this: what trouble might we have to endure? And through that trouble, how is it that the Lord might be glorified? See, Daniel, as we look at the way in which God was exalted and magnified at the end of the passage, you understand that that's only happening because of what Daniel endured. It's the result of Daniel going into the den of lions and God demonstrating his power over the lions and keeping Daniel from any hurt. And we find that as Daniel had to endure that time of difficulty in his own life, that God then is glorified and magnified. And Darius stands and says, his God is real. His God is the living God. His God delivers like no other God. Little g. Amen. And this morning, a world needs to see that our God is real. The world needs to see that our God is able to deliver. And we find that there are many that are doing all that they can possibly do. But oh, how we need to seek the face of God as God's people, understanding that God is able. And that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We quote often that passage of Scripture from Ephesians 3 in verse number 20. And what a powerful verse it is. What a great promise that we have in the Word of God. But I wonder this morning, How's our walk with God? Is it a consistent daily walk with God, where our faith is being built up, where we're being prepared for that trial or trouble that might come our way? Because a casual walk with God is not going to produce this kind of faith and courage. It's just not. And oh, how we need to walk with God consistently. And oh, how we need to understand that through the trials, that God will be glorified. You remember back, I'll close with this, in Daniel chapter number 3, when the Bible rehearses that passage for us with regard to the three Hebrew children, that you understand that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they stand and they say to Nebuchadnezzar that their God is able. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar says, "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" They said, "We're not careful to answer thee in this matter, but if so be, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." They understood that God was able. Listen, they understood, they said this, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." We're not going to bow down. That's what they said. Contextually, it was a different situation than Daniel was facing, a different situation than what we face. But we find that the conclusion to Daniel 3 is very similar to the conclusion of Daniel 6. Because you know what happens at the end of Daniel 3? Nebuchadnezzar realizes there's no God like their God. There's no one who delivers like that. I don't believe at any time in Nebuchadnezzar's life or any of those that were there with him on that particular time had ever witnessed people going into that fiery furnace and coming out alive. Never happened before. And I'm quite confident that Darius and those that were there on that day in Daniel 6 had not seen someone go into the den of lions and come out without a scratch. But our God, He is able to deliver. And what joy should fill our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity that You've given us this morning to worship Thee. Lord, we thank You for Thy Word, the truth and power that is contained therein. We thank You that You've preserved Your Word for us and that You have revealed to us once again in this passage of Scripture the power that You have. Thank You for the faith and courage of Daniel. God, I pray that You'd help us to have a consistent walk with Thee. Lord, that we'd understand that my life, Lord, is Yours to control. God, that we would yield to Thee, and that we would allow Thee to have Your will and way in our lives, understanding that You are able. Thank You for how You miraculously protected Your servant. Thank You for the wonderful promises in Your Word with regard to the protection that You offer us as Your people. And I pray that we'd keep our eyes upon Jesus. Lord, that we'd look to Thee and that we would trust Thee, that our faith would not faint or fail. But God, that we would have faith that would endure, that would be categorized and described as great faith. Help us to trust You and believe You. We pray that You'd have Your will and way in the time of invitation, that decisions would be made that would please Thee. We'll thank You for all that You'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand?